Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed.
Hallelujah. Are you getting closer? Are you getting closer? Amen. You're getting closer. Amen. You are getting closer. Everybody say, I am getting closer to what God has for me. And if you believe that, let me hear you give God a shout of glory in this place like you never have before. Hallelujah. 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 How many of you all are just thankful? I'm thankful. I'm in a happy mood. I'm in a good mood today. Amen. I am in a great mood today. Amen. And I am thankful for life. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for everything that God has blessed me with. Amen. And it's in my praise. See, you can complain. You can complain about what you don't have, but you can praise God for what you do have. And when you do that, then that shows that you're thankful. See, when you're thankful, then God can bless you with more. But when you're not thankful, then God can't bless you. See, a lot of times we're looking for God to bless us, but we're not thankful for what God has blessed us with. So it's in your praise. So the praise is the closer you get, because when you're thankful, it produces joy. And when you're joyful, it produces strength, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. So what are you thankful for? Because what you're thankful for, it makes you joyful. And when you're joyful, you got strength. You got strength. You're not worried about what you don't have. You're not worried about what that person is doing. You're not worried about that because you have strength. See, God has given you strength, but how do you get the strength? You get the strength through being thankful. That's not my message. That's not my message. Amen. Let's give God some praise in this place. Amen. Woo. Amen. Wow. Wow, y'all feel that? Y'all feel that? It's just in the atmosphere. It's just in the atmosphere. The atmosphere has just shifted. Do y'all feel it? Do you feel it? It's not just goosebumps, but do y'all feel that? Hallelujah. 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 If you would, for time's sake, if you would, turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2. Whew. Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to read verses 11 through 16. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. And I got a lot I want to share with you today. And once you get there, if you would, jump to your feet. Wow. I am so thankful. So thankful. My mind is stayed on God. And since my mind is stayed on God, I am in perfect peace. I'm not in a peace that subsides. I'm not in a peace that goes away. I am in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on God. Everybody at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11. And if you're not there on your iPad or on your iPhone, you can use your eyes and look at the screen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. And we are in our series, the multi-series. How many of you all were blessed by the word last week? It was really good. It was really, really good. God showed us in the word what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to operate in our gifting and our calling. So you're not supposed to operate in somebody else's lane, because once you get out of your lane, see, your lane becomes neglected. And when you get in somebody else's lane, then you impede their progress. See, a lot of us in church are impeding the progress of other people because we're trying to do this thing over here, we're trying to do this thing over here, and we become busybodies. We're not going to be a house of busybodies. We're going to be a house of rolling in what God has called us to do so that we can spread the word the right way, the right way. So everybody, let's read this on the count of three, Nehemiah chapter 2, and it's a little wordy, but it's okay. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 16, and let's read that on the count of three. One, two, three. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, and I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me, except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Woo, it's a lot of reading, wasn't it? A lot of reading. I want to use for a topic this morning, vision by God. Vision by God. Let's look from God in prayer. God, we thank you. We love you. We honor you for this opportunity to share the word with your people. We thank you, Lord God, for vision in this house. We thank you, Lord God, for our general, Lord God, who was a great visionary, who started this vision. We thank you, Lord God, that you moved Lester Bell Jr. out of the way and that you allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through me to your people. So, God, we thank you that we are operating on one accord. We thank you that we will have power. We thank you that our hearts and our minds and our attitudes are in a heart posture towards God. And we thank you for this word that is about to go forth. So I love you. I thank you. I honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you sit down, say, vision by God. Vision by God. Our multi-series, in this multi-series, we are talking about catching the vision and running with it. Everybody say, catching the vision, and running with it. See, we are to catch the vision and we are to run with the vision that we catch. We are to catch the vision and run with the vision that we catch. Now, in football, a wide receiver, what, catches the football and he runs towards the goal. The wide receiver doesn't necessarily throw the ball to himself because that's really impossible to do. So there are certain roles on a football team. There's a quarterback, there's an offensive lineman, there's wide receivers, there's tight ends, there's running backs, right? Everybody has their role, but their vision is to win the game. See, our vision in the house is to win the game. But if we're trying to do everybody's role, if I'm a wide receiver and I'm trying to do the quarterback's role, or if I'm an old lineman and I'm trying to do the tight end's role, then I am out of alignment with my role. I am out of alignment with the calling and the gifting that God has called me to do and God called me to be. Now, in this passage of scripture, we are talking about Nehemiah here. And Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. Just to give you a little background on Nehemiah, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. And so Nehemiah, his hometown was Jerusalem. His home city was Criolla, right? So what had happened was his hometown, his home city, had been destruction had taken the land. The walls had been knocking down. The people were reproached. The people were shameful. Because Jerusalem had been, the walls had been torn down. And so when Nehemiah heard about this, Nehemiah kind of got sad. And so when Nehemiah got sad, he prayed to God in the first chapter. I'm giving you a little context of what we're talking about. He prayed to God to give him an opportunity to go to Jerusalem to help rebuild the walls. And so the king granted him favor because Nehemiah asked for an opportunity, and God granted that opportunity. See, a lot of times we're asking God to do something instead of asking God for the opportunity to work through us to do something. Did you hear me? A lot of times we are asking God to do something instead of asking God for an opportunity to work through us to do something. See, Nehemiah asked God for an opportunity to work through him so that he could go back to his hometown and help rebuild the walls. Now, Nehemiah in chapter 2, verse 11 through 16, Nehemiah went and viewed the walls. And so as the story progresses, Nehemiah went and viewed the walls, and he saw with his own eyes the destruction of Jerusalem. And so vision,
Visions are born in the soul of people who are consumed with the tension between what is and what could be. Let me say that again for you. Visions are born in the soul of people who are consumed with the tension between what is and what could be. So when you have a vision, you have a vision and there's tension between what is and what could be. So Nehemiah had a vision in his heart because his hometown had been destructed. It had been torn down. So he had his vision. Vision is tension between what is and what could be. So what is right now is not what could be in the future because there's tension there. There's tension in vision. Everybody say there's tension in vision. Now, everybody has a vision for their life. You have a vision for your family. You have a vision for the world. But the question is, are you flowing in that vision for your life, for your family, for the world? Are you flowing in that vision, or are you being a hindrance to that vision because you don't know how to flow in the vision? See, a lot of times we don't flow in the vision that God has for us because we're trying to flow in another vision of trying to think, okay, well, this person did it this way, so I should do it that way too. But when God gives you a vision, God gives you the what, but he never gives you the how. Because God, the how power is in God. The how power is in God. So this is what Aristotle says. He says this. He says, the soul never thinks without a picture. The soul never thinks without a picture. So I'm talking to you right now in words, but you're seeing pictures. You're seeing pictures in your mind's eye. If I say chair to you, what kind of chair do you think of? Do you think of a rocking chair? You think of a bar stool? Do you think of a kitchen table chair? Or when I say podium, do you think of this podium, or do you think of this podium, or do you think of a flat podium? What do you think of? Because when we talk to each other in words, but our mind sees in pictures. See, vision is just a picture of what could be. Now, visions form in the hearts of those who are dissatisfied with the status quo. Visions form in the hearts of those who are dissatisfied with the status quo. Vision often begins with the inability to accept things the way they are. So how does vision begin, Pastor Jay? Vision begins with the inability to accept things as they are. So vision is saying, okay, things are like this right now, but I know what they can be if I put in the proper work and if I have the power of God working along with me. Now, a lot of times, I heard Mike Todd say, he says, a vision without God is just a project. A vision without God is just a project. A lot of us are doing projects, and you're like, God, I can do this. I can handle this. I can handle that over there. I can handle this. But God wants to work in your midst. God wants to work with you so that the vision can come true because he has put a vision in everybody's heart. So vision often begins with the inability to accept things the way they are. So vision is really seeing what you don't see. Did you hear me? Amen. Vision is seeing what you don't see. Okay, so let me break that down for you. So you are sitting in vision, right? You're sitting in vision. Everybody in this room, you're sitting in vision. See, this vision was birthed out of Lester Bell Sr.'s heart because God placed a vision in his heart that he would start a ministry. Now, when we got to this church, were the TVs up here? No. Was this carpet this color? No. Were these chairs this color? Were these walls this color? No. No, that's just vision. That's vision. Because even the lights didn't even look like this. So you are sitting in vision. I'm going to say that again because when we came in here, we saw what we didn't see. When we came in here, we saw orange, but he saw blue. When we came in here, this past year, we saw no TVs, but we spoke that into existence, and now we have TVs. So that's vision. That's vision. Vision is seeing what you don't see. That's not in your case notes. That's not in your outline. But vision is seeing what you don't see. I want you to catch that revelation. Vision is seeing what you don't see because what you see right now is something that you don't want to see. So it's something that you don't want to see, so you see what you want to see for your life. What are you seeing for your life? Are you seeing the same old, same old? Are you seeing the same old, oh, I'm just making it, I'm just going to live today, I'm going to just try to make it, I'm going to just try to do this over here, I'm going to just try to do this? Or are you speaking vision in your life? See, you have to speak vision in your life, because if you never speak vision in your life, guess what? You're going to stay in the same place that you were. And you'll never receive what God has for you because your mind has not been expanded by a vision. See, vision expands your mind. Vision expands your mind. Now, dreams and visions are not the same. Dreams and visions are not the same. Now, don't get me wrong now. It's okay to have dreams. But dreams are just, this is what dreams are. Dreams are a picture of what could be with no action. Dreams are a picture of what could be with no action. So you go to sleep at night, and you have a dream, and you wake up and be like, oh, man, that was a phenomenal dream that I had last night. It was great, and I saw this, and I saw that, and I saw this, and I saw that. But you don't put no action to it. You're just dreaming. You're just dreaming. So dreams are a picture of what could be with no action. But vision is a moral conviction of what should be with action. Let me say that again for you. Vision is a moral conviction of what should be with action. When Nehemiah saw the walls, he didn't just dream of the walls being rebuilt. He went to work because God had placed a vision in his heart for him to go to work on the vision. See, God has placed a vision in your heart, but it's time for you to go to work on the vision. See, a lot of times this is what we do. This is what we do. We sit down. God has given us a vision, and we sit down, and we do this, and we just twiddling our thumbs, and we just waiting on God to do something. God, I'm waiting, and I'm just waiting, God. And the scripture says that they wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. But are you really reading that in the right context? Because you're not. Because waiting is more than just waiting. Waiting is just more than just sitting and twiddling your thumbs and crossing your feet and waiting for God to do something. See, in your waiting, you have to put action in your waiting. You have to prepare in your waiting because what you expect, you prepare for. But if you're just sitting here, well, God gonna do it, and he is. But God looking like, what you gonna do to put into this? Now, I'm not saying that your works are what makes you saved. I'm not saying that because we're saved by God's grace. So we don't have to work for God's grace. We don't have to work for God's love because we're saved by his grace. But when it comes to vision, we can't just sit here and twiddle our thumbs and just wait for God to do something. See, Nehemiah just didn't sit at the king's table or stand at the king's table and twiddle his thumbs and wait for God to go rebuild the walls himself. No, God needs a vessel. Vision needs a vessel. Vision needs a vessel. So when we understand who God is, then we'll understand, okay, God, well, God, what do I need to do to help this thing come to pass? So your dreams, listen to this, your dreams should graduate to visions because your dream of what could be should graduate to a vision of what should be with action. Because vision is the clear mental picture of what could be fueled by the conviction that it should be. Did you hear me? Vision, that's a good word. Vision is the clear mental picture of what could be fueled by the conviction that it should be. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 through 18. Now, there's some key points we can take from that 11 through 16. Now, when Nehemiah went to view the walls, he didn't tell anybody his vision. You cannot tell anybody your vision. Because if you tell the wrong people your vision, they will destroy it. Because their mind isn't conditioned to the vision that God has placed in your heart. So you have to be careful with who you tell. There's vision that God has placed in my heart that I can't release yet because our minds are not there to be expanded to the vision. that God has placed in my heart. Because if I tell y'all some things that God has placed in my heart, y'all be thinking, Pastor Jay, crazy. We need to give him some medicine. You need to go get him a psychiatric appointment. Because he thinks this gonna happen with this. See, vision doesn't look at what it is. Vision looks at what it could be. Vision doesn't look at what it is right now. It look at what it shall be. And so God has placed some things in my heart because NBCC is multicultural. NBCC is multi-generational. NBCC is multi-ethnic. And NBCC is multiplying. Did you hear me? NBCC is multicultural. NBCC is multi-generational. NBCC is multi-ethnic. And NBCC is multiplying. Because God is a God of multiplication. The scripture says one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put tens of thousands to flight. So when we operate in the math of God, then God can multiply what he has given us. But when we operating in our, when we operating in our own math, see, we'll operate by ourselves and we'll just try to do it by ourselves and say, I got it, God. I handle my 1,000. I let them handle their 1,000. But God says, no, when you come together, then you have power. You have power. So everybody at Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. And this is what it says. It says this. It says, then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and it get and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. Now stop. Now when Nehemiah told them the vision, what was their response? Their response was, let us go to work. Let us put our hands to this good work. See, God has called this house and our vision to be multicultural, multi-ethnic, multiplying, multi-generational. But that means that we have to go to work. But how do we go to work? We go to work by asking God for an opportunity. That's how we go to work. God give us an opportunity. Scripture says, ask and it shall be given. Knock and the door shall be open. Seek and you shall find. So what are you asking God for? Are you asking God to fill this place? Or are you asking God for the opportunity for you to minister to someone so they can be one that helps fill this place? Did you hear me? So our prayers have to change from God, fill this place, God, fill this place, God, fill this place, to God, give me an opportunity to speak, to encourage someone. Give me an opportunity to speak your good news into somebody's life. Give me an opportunity to show love to somebody. Because when we ask God for an opportunity, guess what happens? He gives us an opportunity. When Nehemiah asked for an opportunity, guess what happened? God gave him an opportunity to speak to the king to help rebuild the walls. And so we have to ask God for an opportunity. Now, vision is a preferred future. Vision is a preferred future. So the scripture says, I know the plans that I have towards thee, plans to give you hope, plans to give you an expected end. So vision is a preferred future. So vision doesn't look at what you have now. Vision looks at what you can have in the future. It's a preferred future. It's an expected end. So when we understand that there is an expected end that God has, well, see, God thinks about you. God has thought about you, and God will continue to think about you because his thoughts outnumber the sands of the sea. Can you count the sands of the sea? Can you go to Gulf Shores and say, okay, let me count how many sand it is, how much sand it is at Gulf Shores? It's innumerable because that's how much God thinks about you. See, the sands, the scripture says in Psalms that God's thoughts they outnumber the sands of the sea. So before you were born, God was thinking about you. When you was born, God was thinking about you. When you live, God was thinking about you. When you die, God will still be thinking about you. So we can't outlive God's thoughts for us. And God's thoughts for us are to give us an expected end. So vision is a preferred future. So listen to this. This probably going to hurt some people. Vision demands change. Vision demands change. See, everybody wants change until it's time to change. Amen. Everybody likes change until it's time to change. We want change. We want to be more like God. God, decrease in me, more you. And then when it happens, we're like, oh, no. What did I ask for? Why did I ask for this change? Because vision requires change. Vision implies movement. Vision implies movement. See, vision is just not vision for you to have the vision to say, okay, well, God, thank you for this vision. No, it implies movement. So that means that vision requires a vessel to champion the cause. So Nehemiah was vision. Nehemiah was a visionary, rather. Nehemiah was a visionary because his vision required movement. So the people said, let us build this wall together. So vision requires a vessel, right? It requires a vessel. So that means that Nehemiah was the vessel for him to champion the cause of rebuilding the walls. So are you a champion for the vision of the house of NBCC? Or are you a champion of your own vision of NBCC that you have? That's the question. Because a lot of times what happens in church, see, we want to get our own vision of what we think it should be instead of following the vision of the house, and we miss out on what it can be. See, when you become committed to the vision of the house, then guess what happens as a secondary consequence? Your vision comes true too. It comes true because you say, okay, I'm committed to this vision of this house. I am committed to what God has called this house to do. See, God has called this house to be a house that's not like any house in the nation. God has set us apart. God has called us to be multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-generational, multiplying. So that means that in order for that to happen, then we have to ask God, allow me to be a champion for the cause of the vision of the house. And so when I become a champion of the cause of the vision of the house, then God says, okay, I can work with that. But when you're trying to do your own vision, when you try to do your own thing at NBCC that goes against the whole vision of the house, God says, what? I can't work with that. I can't work with that because it's not on one accord. See, the reason the Acts 2 church grew the way it grew is because they were all on one accord. Everybody was speaking the same thing. Everybody was thinking the same thing. Everybody was of one mind, one heart. Everybody got along with everybody. It didn't matter if they were Arabian. It didn't matter if they were Asian. Everybody got along. That was the first multicultural church. That was the first multi-generational church. That was the first multi-ethnic church. And the reason they got along is because they were on one accord. They were all focused on one vision. They were all in alignment in one vision. See, God can work when we are in alignment. God can work when our vision is on one accord. God can work when we all have the same mind. So we have to have the same mind so God can work. So vision requires a vessel to champion the cause. So dreamers dream about things being different. Hear me. Dreamers dream about things being different. So we dream about, oh, I wish this was different. Oh, I wish this was this way. But visionaries envision themselves making a difference. Are you a dreamer or are you a visionary? Are you a dreamer or are you a visionary? See, visionaries envision themselves making a difference. See, General was a visionary because he envisioned himself making a difference. He envisioned himself making a difference. So when he envisioned himself making a difference, God was able to use him to start a ministry to help a lot of people. And we hadn't even scratched the surface of what God is going to do in this house yet. We think we've seen great, but God has even greater for this house. We think we've seen God's power, but God has even greater for us to experience in this house. So General was a visionary. So dreamers, I'm going to give you just a little difference between dreamers. Dreamers think about how nice it would be for something to be done. They just dream about it. Oh, that'd be nice for that to happen. Man. What they doing? That'd be nice. But visionaries, hear this. Visionaries look for an opportunity to do something. So visionaries look for the opportunity to do something. They don't just dream about, oh, this can be different. No, they look for an opportunity to do something. So vision needs not a dreamer, but vision needs a visionary. Vision needs a visionary. What is a visionary, Pastor Jay? Visionary is this: someone who has allowed their mind and heart to wander outside the artificial boundaries imposed by the world as it is. I'm going to say it again. A visionary is someone who has allowed their mind and heart to wander outside the artificial boundaries imposed by the world as it is. So a visionary says, here are the boundaries. Let's go beyond that. A visionary says, okay, well, that's the box. Let's really get outside the box. A visionary says, oh, that's how it is. That's how it's supposed to be. But they get outside of that's how it's supposed to be. That's why one of our taglines here is Church Different. Because I don't want us just to be the ordinary, church. We just come here and just sing a song or two and hear a message from a good-looking 30-year-old Pastor Jay. And you give your offering. And you can toot your own horn sometimes. You can encourage yourself sometimes. It's okay to encourage yourself. See, God wants us to not just be the ordinary church where we just do the same old, 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 same old. Because what happens is when we start to do the same old, same old, same old, same old, guess what? We burn out, thank you, and we make the word non-effect. Because we just come in here just for the motions. We just come in here just for, I went to church on Sunday. I paid my tithes, my first fruits. And my life didn't change outside the four walls. I just came and acted, really. See, God wants this place to be a place of refreshing love and a place, an oasis of love and an oasis of peace and joy, so that when you leave here, then everyone you come in contact with, they're going to say, it's something different about them. What? It's just something different. They church different. That's what Church Different means. There's something different about them. They're not the same ordinary, messy, mean, judgmental church people. It's something they really flow in authentic love at their church. They really flow. They just so happy. They just so joyful. They just so peaceful. See, that's the type of church that God wants. And God doesn't want us to come to church and form cliques and be mean to each other and say cutting words that cut down to your soul, make you hurt. Because the sticks and stones may break my bones, words will never hurt. That's partially true, because words hurt. But God wants us to be a church to where there's power in the church. And then when there's not only power in the church, there's power when we go outside of the church. So when we leave out these four walls, there's power. When we're in the marketplace, there's power. When we at our jobs, there's power. When we're driving down the street, there's power. See, power just isn't in this building. The power is in you. The power is in you. So vision requires courage to act on an idea. Vision requires courage to act on an idea. Nehemiah had to have a lot of courage to act on this idea because he was the king's cupbearer. So he was just supposed to be quiet. He was just supposed to taste the wine, make sure it's not poison, make sure he won't be out of a job, right? Because if he drinks it and it's poison, he out of a job, right? Because he dead, he gone, he out of here. So Nehemiah had to act on courage. Your vision for your life is going to take courage. You can't just sit and twiddle your thumbs and be afraid to work on the vision for your life. It's going to take courage. Everybody say, my vision will take courage. So when you know your gifting, listen to this. When you know your gifting, collaboration creates multiplication. When you know your gifting, collaboration creates multiplication. Turn back to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 through 18. I want to kind of break that down a little bit further for you all. Nehemiah chapter, you should already be there, really. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 through 18. So, and this is what it says. It says this. This is Nehemiah talking now. It says, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us. Nehemiah was a perfect leader in this. There's some leadership skills, some leadership qualities in this, because Nehemiah didn't just go to Jerusalem and just be like, all right, I got the wood, y'all build a wall. All right, I got the people, I got the clearance, y'all build the wall. That's not a leader. That's called a managerial. That's a managerial term. When you say, y'all do it, I sit back and reap the benefits. But a leader says, let us do this together. See, the vision that God has placed on my heart, it's not just going to take me to do it, it's going to take us to do it. But that's why I keep telling you all, NBCC is multicultural, NBCC is multigenerational, NBCC is multi-ethnic, and NBCC is multiplying. So he says this, Nehemiah says this, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more reproached. So the people were reproached. The people were shamed because the walls were torn down. Shame. They was like, man, this has happened to us. So they were reproached. And verse 18 says this. It says, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Hadn't God been good to you? He's kept you. He's kept you. He kept you all 2019, and he's kept you thus far 2020. And it says this, as also the king's words that he has spoken unto me. And here's their response after they heard his request. They say this. They said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. So that means that they prepared for the good work. They didn't just say, hey, let us build a wall. And then say, okay, God, do your thing. We got the wood, God, you do it. No, they said, let us rise and build. Let us rise and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. So when you strengthen your hands, then that means that you prepare. Because vision takes preparation. So when God gives you a vision, listen to this, you will not perish. When God gives you a vision, you will not perish. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. See, we have to work together in this vision for NBCC. I can't just do it by myself. It's impossible. It's impossible. I heard somebody say this the other day. I was listening to a podcast. It said, Jesus died for the church already. You don't have to, Pastor. So Jesus has already died for us. I don't have to die for us because Jesus has already made that sacrifice for us. So that means that we're going to have to evenly share the weight across the board. The weight just can't be on my shoulders. We have to evenly carry the weight across the board because when we do, when we collaborate with one another, then that creates multiplication because collaboration creates multiplication. So when I'm flowing in my lane, when I'm flowing in my gifting and my calling, you're flowing in your gifting and your calling, you're flowing in your gifting and your calling over here, guess what? We move like the tsunami. Remember, that's going to be one of our new terms, move like the tsunami, instead of moving like raindrops. See, a lot of churches, they move like raindrops. God wants us to move like the tsunami. This is what Proverbs 29, verse 18 says. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, God-ordained visions are bigger than you. Now, if this house didn't have a vision, guess what? This house would die off. This house would die off. But this house has a vision. And that means that this house will not perish because this house will not die off because this house has a vision. So that means that we have to strengthen our hands to do the good work. So we strengthen our hands by asking God for opportunities to do the good work. We have to, and I said this earlier, we have to change our prayers from God, do this, to God, give me the opportunity. Because the scripture says what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then that means that my prayer posture should be, God, give me the opportunity to speak into somebody's life. Give me the opportunity to encourage somebody. That's why we talked about encouragement last month. Give me the opportunity to let somebody know how much God loves them and so they can come into the house. Because the scripture says, with love and kindness has he drawn us. The only way we're going to draw people is with love and kindness. We can't draw people with meanness and hate. It's impossible. It's impossible. And so, a God-ordained vision is bigger than me. So the vision that God has given me is bigger than me. It's bigger than me. And when you understand that it's bigger than you, then you won't take it so personal. But you'll take it personal. Did you hear me? Everybody like, Pastor Jay giving all these double entendres, right? When you understand that the vision is bigger than you, you won't take it personal, but you will take it personal. Because you will take it personal because you have a part to play in the vision. Everybody in this room has a part to play in the vision. It's not just for me to go out and bring the souls in. It's for you to do it too. It's not just for me to go out and minister to people when they're hurting. It's for you to do it too. And so Nehemiah is a perfect leader in this because he says, let us rise and build the wall. And the people responded, let us rise and build the wall. So they worked together. They worked together. So we have to work together. So if your vision is not God ordained, it's just a project. So if your vision isn't bigger than you, it's not a vision. It's not. It's just something you came up with in your mind, in your own flesh. Now, if your vision just benefits you and not everybody else, that's not a God vision. If it just benefits you, it's just good for my foe and no more. That's not a God vision. But when your vision benefits everybody, guess what? That's a God vision because it benefits everybody. See, the vision that God has placed in my heart, it's not just going to benefit me, it's going to benefit you too. It's going to benefit you too. So the vision that God has placed in my heart is bigger than me. So God-ordained visions are shared visions because it takes more than you to complete what God has placed in your heart. So the God-ordained vision that God has given me is a shared vision because it takes more than me to bring the vision to pass. That's why collaboration creates multiplication. So if your vision is just focused on you, it is too small. If your vision is just focused on you, you just focus on how good it make you feel, it's too small. You small-minded. Yes, you are. I said it. You small-minded. But when your vision is God-focused, it is big. It's a big vision. So what you expect, I said this earlier, what you expect, you prepare for. So opportunity, apart from preparation, results in missed opportunity. Opportunity apart from preparation results in missed opportunities. See, a lot of us have missed our opportunities because we hadn't prepared. We hadn't prepared for what God has called us to be. We hadn't prepared for the greatness that God has called us to. See, I'm preparing every day of my life. I'm preparing for what God has called me to and what God has called us to. I'm expanding my mind. I am learning new things because I'm not going to be able to see the vision come to pass if I stay in the same mindset. So that means that I have to expand. That means vision requires movement. That means that vision has to just move from a thought to preparation. Because when my vision moves from thought to preparation, then I'm saying, God, I believe that you are you're not going to lie on this vision. I believe that you are a man of your word. I believe that this vision will come true. I believe it. So your preparation says to God, God, I believe you. But when you don't prepare, it says, God, I don't believe you. I don't think that's going to happen, God. I don't know. It looked like this on every Sunday, God, but I don't think that's going to happen. So prepare for what God has given you. So how do we know our vision? How do we know our vision? Number one, we pray to God to reveal your vision. Pray to God to reveal your vision. Listen to this. We see what we are looking for, and we often miss what we don't expect to see. We see what we are looking for, and we often miss what we don't expect to see. So if I'm not expecting to see it, guess what? I ain't gonna see it. If I'm not asking God for an opportunity, guess what? I'm not going to see the opportunity. So prayer keeps us looking. So that's why the scripture says prayer without ceasing. Don't stop praying because prayer keeps you looking. Prayer. See, my prayer has changed from, God, feel new beginning to, God, give me the opportunity to plant a seed into somebody's life. And seeds don't necessarily grow overnight. They don't grow overnight. But give me an opportunity to plant a seed into somebody's life. Give me an opportunity to show love to somebody. Give me an opportunity to show how much God loves them. Give me an opportunity. And God has been giving me that opportunity to do that. Just seize here and there. Seize here and there. And guess what? We're going to reap a harvest. We're going to see a harvest come from that. So pray to God to reveal to you your vision. Number two, Vision has to move from thought form to written form. You can't just have your vision in your mind. You can't just have it up there. My vision is up here. My vision of what I see my family, my vision of how I see my finances, my vision of how I see health in my body, my vision of how I see my emotions. Your vision has to move from thought form to written form. And this is biblical. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. Some people say Habakkuk. Some people say Habakkuk. Some people say Shabak. Some people say Habakkuk. But there's so many ways. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. Everyone there? Everyone there? If not, if it's not on your iPad or on your iPhone, use your eyes, look at the screen. And it says this, "And the Lord answered to me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it." Verse 3. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." So verse 2, it says this, "Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it." So that means that my vision has to move from just what I see up here to written form to what I see on my paper. That's why we are writing our vision out on Wednesday nights, because it has to move from your mind to written form. Because when it moves from your mind to written form, it's more likely to come true. It shall come true, according to the scripture. It shall come true. So when you write your vision out, you can even take it a step further and make you a vision board. What's a vision board, Pastor Jay? A vision board is just what you see for your life. I'm gonna bring you all my vision board next Sunday from 2018. And we did these vision boards in the church. And everything on the vision board came true. Home ownership, got a new truck, health in my body, because in 2018 I was super fit. But when I got married, I kind of got super fat, because we was eating a lot of food, eating a lot of Oreos and steaks and chicken and scrimps and pizza and tacos. And we was eating a lot, wasn't we? We were eating a lot, right? We both gained weight. But thank God for this fast. How many of y'all are enjoying this fast? It's been tough, especially trying to get away from those Oreos. I've been crying at night, crying myself to sleep because I can't have no Oreos and no pink lemonade. So church anniversary, let's have some Oreos and pink lemonade. All right? Kitchen staff. Can we have some Oreo cookies and some pink lemonades and some Girl Scout cookies? Yeah? No, I'm talking to you. You the kitchen lady. I'm talking to you. I'm just joking. But our vision has to move from thought form to written form, so that when I read it, I can run with it. I can run with it. See, a lot of us can't run with our vision because it's not a written form. We're trying to run with the vision in our mind, and then something else comes up in our mind. We'd be like, man, what was that I was just thinking about? So, number three. So, number one, how do we know our vision is? Pray to God to reveal your vision. Number two is vision has to move from thought form to written form. And number three, in your waiting on the vision, you prepare for the vision. In your waiting in the vision, you prepare for the vision. So when you let's say I want to lose 25 pounds by June 1st. I can't just sit at home and just say, God, I'm waiting for you to knock these pounds off. I'm waiting for you to do it, God. I don't got no work ethic. I'm eating all these Oreos, but I'm waiting for you to knock these 25 pounds off. The scripture says, ask and it shall be given, and you hadn't given it to me. It's because you hadn't put in the work. Same goes with your vision. You have to put in work for your vision. You have to prepare for your vision. You got to prepare for what God has placed in your heart. You got to prepare for the family that you want. You got to prepare for, I'm going to give y'all I'm going to give y'all, those who you who are single, I'm going to give y'all some little tips. How did I prepare for Lady Pilar? I had a vision of what I wanted my wife to look like. I had a vision of what I wanted, some qualities that I wanted my wife to have. It was here, because I would imagine it. I would imagine, man, I can't wait till we travel across the world and we have kids and we have a home and we celebrate holidays together. And I would imagine that, right? I would dream that. I would dream that I was going to be married. I would imagine that I was going to be married. But that imagination had to go to written form. So what I did in 2015, I wrote down every quality that I wanted in a wife. Wrote it down. Now, God had given me the what, but he didn't give me the how it was going to happen. He just gave me the what. He just gave me the what. Because the how is not your concern. Envision the how is not your concern. When God gives you a vision that's bigger than you, that's scary, the how is not your concern. So God gave me the what. This is the quality. This. Then I turned around, and instead of waiting for God to do that, I prepared as if she was already there. I prepared if this Lady Pilar was already there. So I started becoming everything that I wrote in that list. I started preparing. Okay, I want somebody who's fun and spontaneous. Well, I need to be fun and spontaneous. I want somebody who's smart. Well, I need to study. I need to read. I want somebody who is who's beautiful inside and outside. I need to be beautiful on the inside and outside. And guess what happened? When I prepared for what I expected vision-wise, then I received what God had for me. But if I would have just said, God, I'm waiting for you to do it. I'm waiting for you to bring me my wife. I'm waiting for you to do it. Just when you gonna do it? Because I'm getting older. When you gonna do it? I prepared for the vision in the meantime. In the meantime, you gotta prepare for the vision because it shall come to pass. It will not wait. In your waiting, prepare. Amen? Amen. Let's give God some praise. Amen. Vision by God. Everybody say vision by. Everybody say vision by God. God. Amen. If you would, stand to your feet. And this Nehemiah, it's going to go a little bit deeper because there's some things when vision happens, there's some opposition that comes. And so what do we do with that opposition that comes? We'll talk about that next week because Nehemiah has some opposition. It's even in chapter 2. It's some opposition. Pastor Jay has some opposition to the vision, but guess what? According to the scripture, know how to handle it. Because the scripture helps you know how to handle the opposition to the vision. There was opposition to this vision of the house. Some people said, new beginning, guess what? New beginning not going to make it past 6 months. That's what they told us. Guess what? Here we are 24 years later. Hallelujah. 24 years later. And we hadn't seen anything yet.